This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles start a three-game set in Toronto tonight. Grayson Rodriguez and Chris Bassett, the Bone, and Jim Hunter doing BBT tonight at 6. But let's talk some Orioles baseball now. Dan Connolly covers the O's and Major League Baseball for Sportskeeda, and he joins us now. And Dan, thank you as always for joining us. Let's start. We haven't spoken to you since the deadline. What did you think about what the Orioles did at the trade deadline?
I would give it a B, B minus maybe. I liked it in most ways. I have a little bit of a quibble with the quality of the relief pitching.
Yeah.
Would have liked to have seen somebody who not only had closer experience like Soto and Dominguez did, but also were having a good year and were pitching well. I like Dominguez's arm, so I think that, you know, it works a little bit, but I like the right-lefty combination. I personally would have liked to have seen somebody maybe who's having a little bit better of a year, maybe, you know, has a little bit better control of the stuff that they have, and I think that's my one quibble. I really like the Eflin pickup. I actually wrote about that today at Sportskeeda. I did a Q&A with him, and I think that's a real good one. And the Jimenez I was intrigued by, and, you know, that's turned out well so far. So I think it was solid. I think they filled the holes, but I would have liked to have seen a better quality group for that bullpen.
Dan, a lot has been made about this past trade deadline being such a seller's market, and you see what right. The Padres gave up for Tanner Scott and the Kikuchi trade, but is that just a new reality of the trade deadline moving forward ever since the new wild card has been introduced?
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what it is. I think that there are too many teams that don't know exactly what they're going to be and are kind of holding off until the end. So not only do we see, you know, it being a seller's market, but we also see a lot of flurry at the end. The last couple of years we've seen that now where people are like, all right, let's do it now. And you know, you end up having like seven trades go down from like 550 until, you know, until the deadline 605 or 610, we're still coming in. So I think that is the reality. I think is the you know, the deadline is always going to be now from here on out, as long as you have those many teams involved, is going to be a seller's market. And I think that's why you'll see a lot of times, you know, players who have a year or more of control, year and a half of control, you'll see them more in the off season, and it'll be much more of a rental thing. And that's one of the things I did like what Mike Elias did, is that several of these guys he got aren't rentals.
Mm-hmm.
They're players that are going to be around for a little while. Like I said, I've always been an Eflin guy. If he stayed healthy in Philly, I think that, you know, I thought Tampa maybe overpaid 3 years and $40 million for him because that was a huge deal and they struck hot. But then we saw the rest of the offseason that year and guys were getting crazy money. So they actually made a smart move to do it, you know, in very early December. And now the Orioles have part of that. And I think it's a benefit for the Orioles. I would have liked them to see them get Eflin, you know, a year and a half ago. But I think this works for him.
Talking to Dan Connolly, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Dan, Jackson Holliday looking like a completely different guy than the guy we saw in April. Anything you noticed different about him?
Well, he looks like he's got more confidence. He looks like he's got a better plan at the plate for sure. But, you know, I had an issue, guys, and I've said this before, I've written about this, but, you know, they didn't bring him up to start the season. And I thought that was a mistake because I think you want to start up, be with the guys, you know, kind of everyone's kind of getting used to what's going on. And I think that would have been excellent had he been able to start in the very beginning. They give him 10 games. He destroys it in AAA. So after 10 games, they bring him up here. And now he's behind everybody. And now, you know, now he's struggling. Now he's trying to fit in. and he gets 10 more games, struggles, and he goes back down to AAA. And I would have liked to have either let them just keep him in the minors for a while, get through the first few weeks, and then bring him up, or bring him up, you know, at on opening day and keep him for weeks. And so I think that was a little bit mismanagement of it. I didn't like it because I think this guy is a quality player, and I think we wanted to see what he could do for a, you know, for a long period of time. But I think we're going to see that now, especially with the Mateo injury. I think it's his, you know, his position, second base, let him run with it. And I think because of that, because he's got confidence, because he's not thinking that every single game he might get sent down, I think he's just a lot more relaxed, and you can see it at the plate.
Dan, we've yet to see under Mike Elias him give out a multi-year contract to someone and reinvesting in their own, and obviously new ownership here now. But Anthony Santander continues to hit, 29 years old, switch hitter with a ton of power. How do you see that situation play out? Should the Orioles be aggressive in keeping him?
It's a real tough one because he's also a leader. Everybody loves him in there. Mm-hmm. He's a really good guy. He's an Oriole. I mean, I know that he was signed by the Guardians, the Indians, but he is an Oriole, and he has done a tremendous job. He's a really big part of this team. However, if you're going to spend money, you probably should do it on the 26-year-old catcher and the 22-year-old shortstop and the 20-year-old second baseman, perhaps. You have a lot of outfielders. You have a lot of guys that can play that position, and it's tough because he's a guy that I think you're going to lose more than just his power when he leaves, because I think he does. He brings that clubhouse together. He's so easy to like. He works so stinking hard. But you know, he's had some injuries in the past, which he's done a great job with his back and legs. He's done an amazing job. He gets there hours before anybody else gets there and does his stretching and does his work and stuff. So he puts the time in to, you know, produce the way he's done. But I also wonder if you only have a certain pot of money, and you know, David Rubenstein should have a large pot.
Yes.
But if you only have if you're only going with a certain pot of money, I think it probably is wiser to divvy it up to younger guys and guys whose positions are a little bit more important. But man, I think that would be a tough loss to see Anthony Santander go somewhere else.
Dan, I asked you about Jackson Holliday a moment ago. Let's go to the other guy they called up, and that's Coby Mayo, who does not have a hit yet. He's getting a day off tonight. I saw Ramon's 3-for-4 with a homer lifetime against Bassett, so that might have something to do with it as well. What do you think of Mayo so far?
I think he's young. He's trying to figure it out. You know, I don't – Buck Showalter, and you've heard him say it 100 times, Ken, but Buck Showalter used to say – The biggest jump in sports is AAA to the majors. And I agree with him. And obviously, you know, but you know, college football, college basketball, the speed is different, but everything else is kind of the same. In baseball, it seems like everything is different. The pitching, you never see that kind of pitching until you get to the majors. And so I just think here's a guy who's got all the talent in the world. He's got a really good head about him. He reminds me of Trey Mancini. He really does, and even in the face, but just overall in the way he kind of carries himself. I think he's going to be fine. I think once he gets that first homer, which is what we're all waiting for, you know, with that guy, I think he'll be able to relax. I just hope he gets some time to really play, and I think he probably will. But, you know, we saw it with Gunnar. I mean, I think you and I talked about it several times. Should they send this guy down? And I think we both were in agreement that they should keep him up, let him keep playing, and look what happened. And I think we're going to see that with Holliday. So I just think it's I see a guy who's very eager to play. You know, the strikeouts thing, the big swing has been kind of the one question about him. And I think that we're going to see a little bit of that until he gets used to the quality of pitching. You cannot replicate the pitching of the major leagues anywhere.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan, the offense has really been trending up in a big, big way over the past couple of weeks. But as you mentioned, there's still some concern with the back end of the bullpen. Orioles, Yankees, identical records. How do you handicap this sprint to the finish?
The bullpen still worries me, guys. It does a little bit. You know, I like the fact that they have kind of strengthened, not even kind of, they've strengthened the rotation.
Yeah.
You know, you had some questions about who number four and five were. You know, Kramer's was your three. Now Kramer's back to a four spot. You know, Rogers is there, which I do like that pickup. I'm not sure how much it's going to play for the playoffs for the Orioles, but I do like that pickup, get a left-hander and get somebody who has, you know, a high pedigree. But that bullpen, I just don't know who I feel confident in right now in the eighth and ninth innings. I mean, could it be Cano? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. You know, Dominguez has shown me some stuff. He obviously has always had a big arm. But I'm concerned about what happens, you know, late in games or close games and what happens with the bullpen. I think I probably would still give the edge to the Yankees because of experience. In fact, I asked Kevin Gausman that. I did a Q&A with him with Sportskeeda, and I asked at the very end, all right, man, I'm putting you on the spot. Who wins this division? And he said Yankees, and I said why? And he said experience. And I think that is probably the case. I think the Orioles may be more talented all the way through 1 through 26, but I think the Yankees might have a little bit more of experience to maybe push it in. We'll see. I mean, both teams haven't played well recently,
no.
And the Orioles, you know, got a couple. So we'll see. I mean, you know what? If I'm not mistaken, guys, I can't tell you the last time this has happened, but there's not one team in Major League Baseball right now that's playing over 600 ball,
yeah.
Or even at 600 ball. That's incredible, you know. So it's there for the taking, and I think if the Orioles can shore up that, you know, that rotation and shore up that bullpen and maybe. You score a little bit more while not relying on the home run, I think they should be there with anybody. So I think it's going to be a heck of a run at the end, and I think the Yankees and Orioles are pretty even.
Dan, before we let you go, one more question about the bullpen, because we talked about a bunch of arms, but Craig Kimbrell's name has not been mentioned at all, and he got up at one point, I think either Saturday or Sunday, but did not come in the game. What's his role at this point?
I don't know. I think his role is, when they need him and they need a right-hander, and whether it's this seventh, eighth, ninth, I mean, they're going to put him in. They, you know, they're paying him way too much money, and he has a lot of, you know, of success and experience to not use him. I just, you know, I think part of it is they don't want him to wear down, and he's worn down in the past. And, you know, he obviously has not been particularly sharp with his command, you know, the last few weeks. And I think there's a concern. This was my concern when they signed him. I thought that he could get them to a closer. I felt like, you know, you could give him that ball in a couple, you know, for a couple months, and a closer would emerge. And I think they've gone out and tried to get, you know, I mean, they have two other guys who can close now besides Cano and Kimbrell, so maybe they're still kind of figuring that out. I think this team's making the playoffs, guys, and I know you don't want to say it's definite because there's a lot to go here, but I think this team's making the playoffs, and I think what they need to do is win now, but they also need to figure out the roles. And I think right now, in this month or so of August going into September, getting ready for that stretch run and getting ready for playoffs, I think they're jockeying and trying to figure out who goes where. I've said this 1,000 times. I think it's so important to have roles in a bullpen and know which guy's coming up. When the Orioles were at the best, and we'll go all the way through their history, Ken, when they were at their best,
yeah.
You always knew who was pitching the 7th, 8th, and 9th,
yep.
Right? I mean, and they knew it. And those players were, I mean, back in the 12, 14, 16 guys, those guys all knew. They could anticipate when they were going to be used or if they're going to be used that day. They had, you know, they were looking at the lineups. They were looking up. They would get up. Darren O'Day would start stretching the 6th because he knew he was going to be in the 8th. And I mean, it was like that. You can find a guy who can close, but you need to find guys who know what their roles are and then can, you know, embrace those roles. And I think that's what we're seeing with Kimbrell and the rest of these guys right now.
Dan Connolly covers the Orioles and Major League Baseball for Sportskeeda. Dan, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.